Welcome to the Financial Literacy Bootcamp, where certified financial planner Dominique Henderson discusses financial topics in plain English for the investing public. Dominique is the owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, LLC, a fee-only registered investment advisory firm offering comprehensive financial planning and wealth management services to entrepreneurs. You can visit them on the web at www.djh-capital.com or on social media by the hashtag Financial Literacy Bootcamp. Now here's the host of the Financial Literacy Bootcamp, Dominique Henderson.
Welcome to the Financial Literacy Bootcamp. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson, and the Financial Literacy Bootcamp is designed to help the financial services industry to be more relevant, reliable, and respected to those we intend to serve. And we do that each week by describing financial topics in plain English for the investing public. So today is episode 53, and we will be discussing listening, the advisor's best tool. So you can, if you're watching on YouTube, you can kind of see the graphic up there about, we got a big cancel sign through talking. So there's a lot of, things that go on in the advisor-client relationship that I kind of wanted to unpack today. And so I think the listening topic, if we start there, we'll kind of uncover some of the things that we wanted to discuss. The genesis of this is because I was going through a magazine article from ThinkAdvisor, and they did an interview with Mr. Alan Alda. And for those of you that don't know him, he was the physician on MASH. So I'm dating myself just a little bit. But anyway, Mr. Alda had some very interesting thoughts. He's actually been in the financial services industry at a point in time. And so I wanted to kind of take a couple of tidbits out of the interview and share some of those, or share some of my insights along with, you know, kind of on top of what he was saying, just because I think it's a really good conversation, especially if you think from this standpoint. So there are over 400,000 advisors. The latest study that I just read, I think it was out of a wealth management magazine, that the latest study shows that there are over 400,000 advisors. And I mean, if you just kind of do the math, and this is really back of the envelope, obviously, the population of people that are roughly between the age of 26 and 65, which is kind of their working years, as potential clients, is 164 million of them. So really, in a perfect world, you're talking about 400 odd families or so to serve. For everyone that, if they wanted financial services, there would be an advisor out there for them to serve, or to service them. And every advisor that wanted to serve clients, obviously, would have plenty of clients to serve to make a good living. That's a pretty good practice, 400 families or so. But alas, there are do-it-yourselfers that will never hire an advisor. There are, you know, there's the robos that will take some of those clients, and I think those will pretty much cancel out, at least right now. That's not proving to be true, but robos have only kind of been around for the last 5 years or so. But then there are the bad advisors that don't deserve one client, let alone 400 families. And then there are the good advisors that on their best day couldn't serve, you know, the overflow from that. So, you know, you have this conundrum of how will people be served? And I think the best way to kind of think about that is, what do good advisors do? And what are some of the tools of that? I think listening, obviously, is one of those, and we'll highlight that today. And you'll see some of that in, you know, the article that we're kind of going through. So, all right. So the interview is in ThinkAdvisor, and I'll post this to the show notes so that you can peruse it at your leisure. But one of the first questions that came up was, why is it critical for financial advisors to communicate well? And before I get into his answer, I guess this would be common knowledge, but I've said this before, and I'll also reference some things that I mentioned back in episode 10 when we were talking about the ability to serve, basically, you know, putting the serve back into financial services, because that's what it's all about. It's about taking people to a destination that they were not going to otherwise be able to get to with the tools of the financial services industry, whether that be investments or risk management and insurance or cash flow management or whatever your deal is and however you serve clients. So that's really the goal. So when we're talking about being able to communicate well, you've obviously got to be able to relay what your value proposition is to a prospective client. And like I was just about to say, gone are the days where, you know, an advisor is sitting behind a big, you know, mahogany desk with a suit and tie on. You know, not that you can't have a mahogany desk or a suit and tie when you serve clients, but you have to take the role of being a collaborative coach. And instead of this expert with all the advice and all the knowledge, and, you know, you take this condescending manner to the clients, and you're basically withholding information, and, you know, they're kind of captive to you. I think that paradigm has shifted and is going to continue to shift, just because, you know, my generation, the Gen Xers, are very, very more skeptical and critical of what they consume. Therefore, it is incumbent upon anybody that wants to be in this industry to take more of a collaborative, listening, empathetic, more emotional IQ, which is called kind of EQ versus IQ. So that's kind of where this first question, I think, is going. But anyways, the question was, why is it critical for financial advisors to communicate well? And Mr. Alda has a very interesting point. He says, it's important not so you can sell people something they don't need, but so you can help them see what they do need if you understand their goals and how to reach out to them. If they don't understand you, your clients are in danger of leaving the way I had to leave my accountant when I couldn't understand him because he was just talking jargon for years and years. And so jargon alienates people, right? When you go to the doctor, when I go to my doctor, I expect him to break down in very simple terms what's going on with me. I come to him with a problem, and if he's a good physician, he should be able to use all those medical terms as if he were with his peers, and then switch it to a good bedside manner if he were with me, like a patient. That's, to me, that's the mark of a good physician. He understands that my goal is not to become a doctor, and so I don't need all those fancy terms, right? If he's trying to solve just my problem, which is the only thing I really want to get fixed, you know, at that point, it's all about me. How do I get my problem fixed? I think it's the same way with a financial advisor. Clients just want their problems fixed, and they want to know what I, as an advisor, can do to help them. They don't need fancy terms. They just need solutions. So, you know, something else that Alda brings up is that some clients are afraid to ask, what does that mean? And so at some point in the conversation with a financial advisor and a prospective client or a client, you know, you're sitting across from each other or you're on the phone and you lose the client because you're talking so far over their head and there's a disconnect. There's no connection being made. And this only causes the relationship to drift further apart eventually. And then you have these unmet expectations that begin to ensue. You know, so for example, the advisor is going after returns in the portfolio, and actually the client really just wants security. But unless you spend enough time with the client with goal articulation, as I call it, to fully really understand what they want and what's going on in their life and what their pain point is and why they came to you in the first place and all the other underlying emotions that go with why this is a pain point, then you're going to not be able to help them the way that they need to be helped. And that relationship is going to suffer in the future. So just a word to the wise there that, you know, obviously it is critical for financial advisors to communicate well. And we do a great disservice to clients when we can't do that. All right. So he has another question here, and I'm not going to go through the whole interview. Obviously, like I said, I will post this in the show notes and you can read through it. But I just want to kind of highlight a couple of things that I'm doing in my practice. And I know that some of my peers are doing. So along the lines of this communication and the emotional thing, there was a series of questions that were kind of asked to him. And I'm not going to go through all his answers, but I'm just going to kind of set up the question and answer that I wanted to highlight as we get to wrap this up and bring it in for our landing. So there's a series of four questions. I'm going to read the first three and then read the fourth one and then give you his answer for the fourth one. So the first one was, how essential is it to not only listen, but to give the other person feedback as they're speaking, which is called active or responsive listening? Then second, they asked, how can understanding other people's emotions build trust in a financial advisor? And then they asked, any caveats about that? And then finally, they say, generally, how does one relate better? So that's kind of the takeaway. So you're becoming a better listener, active versus passive, and, you know, communicating and dialoguing, not just making it a big monologue, and really being able to put yourself in one's shoes. And if there were any, you know, kind of caveats to putting yourself into one's shoes, and then just generally, how do you relate better to somebody else, right? So kind of wrapping all the empathy and the EQ and the soft skills together. He says it doesn't involve staring at someone in the eyes. It involves taking in the whole person. Some research I helped get done suggests that there's a real advantage in increasing your empathy, stepping into another person's shoes, by paying close attention to who you're talking to, trying to figure out what they're feeling by observing their face. So there's a little science suggesting it really does matter. So this is a really salient point, because I'll bring up one or two things, really. The first thing is what he's saying about staring to someone's eyes and being able to look in their face and look past just staring into their eyes, right? You know, growing up, my dad always said, you know, shake somebody's hand and look directly into the eyes. That's not what Alda's talking about. He's talking about being able to observe the different changes in their facial expressions or their body language if they're sitting in front of you. How do you do this if you run a virtual practice like I do? Well, you have to use tools like video conferencing, things like that. But also, if you do this enough and you study this enough, you can also study tone intonations in people's voice when you ask them a different question or a question another way, or when you ask open-ended questions like why or how did you come to that conclusion, instead of just yes, no, closed answers or closed questions. So those are different ways that you can do it. And these, it just takes time. That's all I can really say. You can't really study this stuff in a classroom. And I would just say and even when you can, it still has to be practiced constantly for the advisor to become good at it. But again, this is a really good point, because someone said, I don't know who this was, I just heard my pastor quote it recently, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And any service professional has the duty to listen to their client and place his or herself in the client's shoes when you're trying to diagnose a problem. And we recently talked about this on Maven's Keys, as, you know, going back to the physician question or analogy rather, any good physician is going to first ask you a bunch of questions, trying to understand the history of your ailment or whatever symptoms are going on right now in your body. And they're just going to have you talk for a little bit. They're going to do probably 5 to 10% of the talking by mainly asking questions. And they're going to let you do all the 90% and the rest of the talking so that they can get information. And then what's going on at that point is a diagnostic. They are, you know, going through this rubric or this algorithm in their head that if this, then this, if this, then this. And there doesn't need to be a lot of dialogue if they really know what they're doing. And then what they can then do after they ask you a sufficient amount of questions and do the diagnosis properly, based on their experience, they can then prescribe you what needs to happen or what the remedy is or the medicine. And so here's where the experience factor for advisors really comes into play. And I'll go back to what I normally say about how an advisor that you work with, if you're a prospective client looking for a financial services professional, you would do yourself a really big favor to grab somebody that has at least 5 years of experience working with clients. Hopefully they've gotten some experience, maybe in a support role, and they learned from a lead advisor that was pretty successful and good at doing what they were doing, so that when you get to them, they're not inexperienced when it comes to the type of problems that you have. And so that's just a good thing to have in an advisor. And granted, I know that I'm going to be stepping on the toes of the advisors that are coming out of college and looking to start their own practice. You know, likely it's probably better to partner with somebody when you're first getting started, just because you have the leverage of the collective experience there while you're learning, and so that you won't make mistakes with people's money or their desires or their financial goals, because those are all very, very important things. So, you know, kind of just winding this up, I think that, you know, listening, the advisor's best tool, is something that is, you know, kind of present across all good service professionals, whether that be tax or lawyers or financial advisors or what have you, because at the end of the day, it is about what the client wants and how you can get them to the goal that they're trying to reach, because that's where you add the most value. You know, clients are coming to you because they have a problem. They usually have a time problem, as it relates to trying to get to their goal, but still doing all the other stuff that they like to do. You know, that's very difficult for them, especially when it comes to financial services, because there's a specialized knowledge that it takes to understand how your estate works or what type of tax planning you need and what type of tax breaks can you take legally, or how to position your investments, or how to create enough cash flow for you to do all the things you want to do and then save and then invest and retire later. I mean, those are very complicated things. So if you're a software engineer or a medical salesperson or a nurse or a teacher, how much time do you have to, you know, be good at what you do as a vocation, and on top of that, do everything you need for your financial plan? I mean, there's a very, very, very small percentage of people that can do that effectively. And so at the end of the day, a person like myself is here to help them through the problems that are created by them not having enough time to do that. So hopefully that has been helpful. And we would love to, if you are listening on an iOS device, really appreciate if you would leave us a comment or a review about the show, which helps our rankings so that other listeners can also find this podcast. If you'd like for us to answer a question on the show that you may have, you can send us an email to info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. And you can also find this podcast and others like it on our blog at www.djhendersonsr.com. And if you'd like to learn more about our services or how we can help you solve a problem that you're having with your financial plan, you can give us a call at 214-699-7599 or schedule an appointment on our website at www.djh-capital.com. That's www.djh-capital.com. And as always, have a great and prosperous day. Take care.